Good morning. Another.
Good morning, good to see your congregation.
Okay, honourable members, good morning. We have two departments. We've got health, they are saying they are ready to present to us. We have water affairs and environment. When we used to use the acronym DWARF, it was very easy to use. I don't know now the new one. What is it, the new one? DWARF? Only water affairs, not environment. Well, we're learning this thing. All right. Okay. One of members, we invited the two departments to assist us in terms of the national adjustment estimates of national expenditure. Unfortunately, today is a Monday to us. We're meeting for the first time, and I guess that we're seeing the presentations for the first time. So you will have to take us slowly through. The challenge really why we invited Water Affairs is that we invited you because you have some adjustments that you're requesting. Am I right? But other than that, is the understanding in terms of when we look at the last 6 months after the time when the adjustment was presented. Honourable members, we went to Nandoni, then we went to Kiwop, then and another dam in Mpumalanga. No, Susun? Inyaka. Yeah, Inyaka dam in Mpumalanga. There were challenges that we encountered there. But I don't know if honorable members did read this past few days, but I saw a very, what will I call this report, but it was one of the papers, I can't remember which one, which showed that someone had passed on in Nandoni Dam. It's saying that it's not the first person to die. Now, this report says this dam is it's not the first time that someone has died in the dam, but the dam is not delivering water to the people. Well, they wrote it in a very funny way. So, but we invited you just to come and share with us where we are. With the with those dams. But also when we were in Nyagat temple, I mean, there were a lot of challenges there. Amongst others was the fact that the relationship between the regional office there and the water board team there, to an extent that we heard that the office of the premier was setting up structure so that there could be some kind of coordination there. So I think that is that's why we invited you. Is DG acting or DG? The acting DG. Yeah, the acting DG called me to Mr. Balsa, informed me that he would not be able to attend because of some other challenges in the department. Because he was meeting a colleague from Namibia this morning. I think it's clashing with the meeting. But then, under those circumstances, it's clear that it's something beyond his control. But he indicated to us that he thinks that the people who will be presenting will be capable to handle the matter. I mean the presentation. So let's invite you to address that. I don't know who's leading the delegation. Well, we shall start with water. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning. Good morning, honorable members.
I'm sorry, honorable members, you're asking me an incomplete question, because I think that you have a program in front of you. Yeah. Okay. Now, shall I apologize to Water Affairs then that we start with health? My apologies. I wanted to drink water from the dewata. Okay, let's allow this now. Let's allow health. May I ask health, Water Affairs to allow health. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Okay, thank you very much for coming with your team. I see the teacher is not here. But I think that someone did indicate that the teacher will not be here. But even if people have indicated, you know, maybe or over the phone or what, it's still important that they formally apologize, because it's in terms of the PFMA, the delegation needs to be formalized. Last tomorrow, we people say no, one didn't have a mandate or what. But I'm aware that DG will not be able to attend. But I don't think that I got a reason why she wasn't going to attend. But health, you're not understanding as a national department. It's not understanding things. However, there are issues that we thought that we should invite you for. One is that health is one of the five priorities of government. And therefore, we will always invite you to ensure that the health issues always driven. I mean that health is always prioritized as is one of the government priorities. However, there are still challenges of infrastructure delivery in the provinces, especially around the hospital revitalization. So, and we also understand that it's not only a priority now, it's a priority in terms of the report that was presented by the National Planning Commission. They also mentioned that health will be critical. And over and above that, I think by 2030, the national health insurance would be up and running. We are aware that you having pilot sites starting 2012-2013. But we're not very sure about the plans. But we also received some presentations which also were really indicating to us that whilst there are these sites that we welcome, I think that as Parliament, welcome the introduction of the National Health Insurance. It's not just a question of whether it should be introduced or not, but the question is really when and how. So the challenges that still face us around health is the funding around health. So that's why we invited you, at least to brief us, mainly on that as to where you are, how you see it moving forward. Yes. Thank you very much. And you will tell us who's leading the delegation.
Thank you, Jay. As you said, apologies for the DG. She is actually with the Minister at cabinet, three cabinet submissions today. My name is Ian van der Merwe. I'm the appointed CFO for the Department of Health. I've got with me Ms. Steinie Rennie, who is the deputy CFO for Health. And we brought along Dr. Masood Chaka, who is heading the infrastructure. So we'd also be able to talk to some of the infrastructure issues as you raise them. Chair, we've made a presentation also to address the issues addressed or mentioned in your letter. So hopefully by the end of it we will have addressed most of those concerns. But just to start off with the numbers, as you will see, our initial budget for 11-12 was $25.7 million. We received rollover funding for $231 million, of which there was also unforeseen unavoidable on HIG. We received funds for flood damaged clinics for $2.6 million, and there was improvement of condition service of $2.4 million, giving us a new revised budget of $25.9 billion. In terms of the allocation letter received from our Treasury, this is what it looked like. Essentially, it says that we were allocated $5.5 million for the IT systems in the renovated Civitas building. And I do understand that this has been there for a while. And we've actually moved into this building now, and we settled, and this is, should be the last year that any of these funds should be requested again in this terms. There was an additional $7.5 million allocated in respect of what we call the Komonani project. It's actually an HIV marketing project of $7.5 million, which has gone out on tender and will hopefully be awarded before the end of the second or the third quarter. The office accommodation in Civitas building was $30 million. It was payable to Public Works. It wasn't paid at the end of the last financial year, and hence the rollover was received for this year, and this money will also flow in the current financial year. Under the revived funds, two provinces received rollovers, namely Gauteng and Eastern Cape, 55.5 and $29 million respectively. And just interesting to note that this amount was actually reduced by National Treasury based on current spending trends. For instance, the initial amount by Gauteng requested was $72 million, was reduced to $55.5 million. The TB prevalence survey is at $3.8 million. We have started the procurement processes, and this money should flow out of fiscus in the financial year. Infrastructure planning support, the costing of triple P, etc., an amount of $100 million was allocated for that, and Dr. Sharker will be able to speak to those expenses as well. Under the unforeseeable, unavoidable, two components, as I said, the improvement of conditional service, $2.4 million, and then the disaster management amount of $2.6 million, which is now also included as part of the HIG conditional grant. I'll put this slide there, Chair, to address one of the issues that you've mentioned in your letter, the shifting of funds of $1.3 million from the capital program. The shift was, in fact, also between capital expenditure, so it was from capital to a capital expenditure, and it was essentially to reprioritize funding at our labs. So we've in fact not transferred between economic classifications, but we've kept it consistent. This is just Madhubi, I just want to show you there that we've done all the vironments, and you'll see it now in the detail as I go along. The summary for the department is as per these programs. For program one, it was a $35 million adjustment. For program two, a $1.799 million adjustment. For the program three, a $3.3 million adjustment. For primary health care services, $7.5 million adjustments. Tertiary services, $188 million, which includes all the infrastructure rollovers. And then there was a small reduction in program six of R800,000. And this comes back to our total budget there of $25.9 billion. Yeah, program five includes all the rollovers for the conditional grants on the capital for the HRG, as well as the funding that was provided for the IUSS and PMSU of the $100 million. See, if I can take you back to this slide here, you'll see that the hospital revived of 55, the $29 million and the $100 million, as well as the 2.6, forms part of that adjusted budget. So that is our biggest adjustment was the FNM Program 5. And essentially, this is funds that will be transferred out to our provinces for capital and capital and infrastructure expenditure. In terms of compensation, Chair, you will see that our compensation had a adjustment of 3.3 million, goods and services 125 million, transfer payments 105, and capital payments the 2.55 million. Program Chair, the position was as such that Program 1, the initial budget was 326 million. We've included the Civitas rental, as I explained to you, the 30 million was included there. The IT systems for Civitas is at 5.5, and the small environment, the slide I showed you with a small print, if you like, is basically the combination of all the environments between programs and economic classifications, and this is the end result for Program 1. On Program 2, initial budget 160 million. The environments was added of 1.7 million, giving you a final figure of 162 million for this program. HIV and AIDS, there was an initial budget of 8 billion. The rollover for Komanani was at 7.5, the TB prevalence at 3.8, and there was an environment away from Program 3 to deal with the research project at HSRC of 8 million, giving a total new revised budget of 8 billion essentially. At Program 4, initial budget 730 million, environments at 6.5 million, and ICS, improvement of conditional servants at their laboratories of 997. There's been quite a drive in improving the appointment of staff at the laboratory services. Under Program 5, which is the bigger budget again, 15 billion was initial. The initial budget, we've added the HRG for Gauteng and for Eastern Cape, as well as the IUSS and PMSU investigations. HRG is the Hospital Revitalization Grant. So there's two grants. That's the HRG for Gauteng at 55 and Eastern Cape at 29. On the 2.6 million that is shown there is what was allocated for the flood damage at 19 clinics, which has subsequently also been included in the hospital infrastructure grant. So we essentially manage those two grants at the national level. At Program 6J, we've got an initial budget of 525 million. There was a environment of 2.3, and we've included improvement of conditional service there of 1.5, giving you a 524 million budget. In terms of our expenditure, just to give you in relation to this budget, you will see that we've expressed our expenditure at the end of September as a percentage of the adjustment budget, and that has come to exactly 50% in terms of baseline or bottom line numbers, which suggests that we will be on target in spending the entire budget by the end of the financial year. Obviously, for us, we have to manage some of the variances within this budget, as some of our programs are underspending, and the one that shows a slight overspend now is Program 5. In terms of compensation of employees, in terms of economic classification, this is a breakdown, still at 50%. You'll see our transfers is currently at 51% of budget, so that's on track. We're slightly still concerned about some of our goods and services and capital expenditure at head office or the national office, but so with this environment and with the rollovers, quite a bit of these funds should flow before the end of the third quarter. For instance, the Civitas building, some research at HSRC, as well as the facility audit that was conducted. Our conditional grants, Chair, as at the end of September, stood at 45% total spent. Obviously, we've got some issues regarding the HIG funding at 38%. That's the hospital infrastructure grant, and also the revived grant at 42%. And even the HIV and AIDS grant is currently at 41%, although there's quite a bit of commitment still that has to flow before the end of the third quarter. The grants per province is as such. We've got some provinces that are showing significant underspent on the grants, and in the main this comes down to Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape, and to some extent the Northwest as well. And I think Dr. Sharker can talk a little bit about the measures that we can sort of employ on the infrastructure grant to get that funding up and running. This is just a summary of the expenditure per grant per province. This is the detail of the summary. I'm not sure if I should go through it in detail for you. Just to note that on the HIG grant, the health infrastructure grant, the adjusted budget is at 1.704 million. And if you equate the amount spent, it still equates to 38% of budget spent. So this is one area that the national office has to make some major interventions. On the hospital revitalization grant, after all the inclusions of rollovers, the adjusted budget comes to 4.2 billion. And if you relate that to expenditure at the end of September, that spending equates to 41% of total budget spent. Back to this one. This one, I think. Yeah. This is an infrastructure grant that goes to provinces as well. What provinces do is they actually gazette a number of or range of projects that they want to complete in a financial year. So this one complements to some extent also your health revitalization grant. So we've got two grants that we administer from a national point of view. So this is where lots of effort have to go into in terms of getting expenditure up and running. So if you allow me, I will ask Dr. Sharker to maybe talk to the infrastructure. I know that's one area that you would be interested in. So I'll just go to that presentation. Can I give to Dr. Sharker? Can I give to him? Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, as you know, from the with effect from the current financial year, National Department of Health has become responsible for the management and monitoring of the hospital revitalization grant as well as HIG. Health infrastructure grant. But unfortunately, as you know, the chronic type of disease of under expenditure in the hospital revitalization grant was persisting since 7-8 years ago. I will show you a few graphs that shows the under expenditure pattern within the department. And with your permission, I will share with you a few measures that we have put in place in order to curb the under expenditure in the first place and improve their delivery mechanism in the national as well as at the provincial level, making sure that the expenditure in the infrastructure do enjoy quality and quantity of spending in all the provinces. One of the major areas that National Health Council has advised and guided the infrastructure unit of the National Department of Health was initiation of an accelerated health infrastructure service delivery program, which is titled Infrastructure Unit Support System. In abbreviation, we call it IUSS, which has got five major type of flow of activity or focus area that I will share with you. Based on the challenges that we have diagnosed during the course of last 8 months, making sure that what remedy we are proposing is appropriate to the problem and challenges that we have. This infrastructure unit system support program is a structured collaboration between the National Department of Health, Development Bank of Southern Africa, and CSIR, that was initiated in October 2010, and hopefully it will be wrapped up by 2013. With the overall objective is to optimize the acquisition, operation, and management of South Africa's public healthcare infrastructure through all stages of infrastructure life cycle, not just a portion of it, the full life cycle. This program has already started bearing fruit, for instance, last year. We could stabilize the under expenditure, and I will share the facts and figures with the honorable members. The major focus area of this program, one is the norms and standards for the full infrastructure development cycle. As you know, in our previous presentation, we have discussed extensively lack of norms and standards in different type of level of health services in the country is manifesting itself with high cost per unit in development of the health infrastructure, as well as very many deficiencies in the operation of the health facility. So with the help of CSIR, we have already started these norms and standards, and the first level type of output has already been distributed in March 2011 to all the provinces, making sure that they adhere to these norms and standards, especially in terms of the room data sheet when we are designing various departments within a health facility. Number two focus area is undertaking an assessment of the status of more than 2,000 projects that is currently going on in all the provinces. Unfortunately, as you know, we didn't have sufficient information, quality information, with regard to the status of the projects. Financial side, yes, certain amount of information are available through IRM, but when it comes to the actual and physical and contractual information, our situation, unfortunately, was very poor. The first phase of this particular focus area has covered all the hospital revitalization program, and the expert consultants are appointed, and they are already in the field to cover the balance of the 2,000 projects to make sure contractually, physically, and financially, where are we, and how much we have spent for what purpose, and how long further we need to complete the existing project and initiate new projects into the cycle of infrastructure development. The other focus area that we are trying to improve with the help of CETA is the establishment of the PMIS, Project Management Information System. The information that we are gathering from the status report is being captured in a web-enabled program management information system based on which we will be able to provide reports, as I said, in terms of physical progress, financial progress, as well as contractual progress, making sure that all the contractual commitment and obligations are met and there are less challenges in terms of proper and appropriate reporting and spending professional time in writing reports. PMIS should be able to provide us the baseline information. The very exciting component of this program is the establishment of project monitoring and management support that will support and unlock the potentials of our manpower in the province as well as in the national department. I will share with you some details. 24 experts in the built environment, with effect from the 1st of September this year, have joined the department on a contract basis under this program. They are assisting us, I will share you the detail of the information, in all provinces as well as the national office in our operation room, making sure that what is happening in terms of project implementation plan are carried out properly at quality and quantity level with proper risk management on the ground. In order to make sure that we do have a uniform type of cost structure for our infrastructure, we are developing a cost model. The strategic level and budgetary level, first level cost model has already been developed with the help of CSIR and has already been distributed to all provinces for use and further input, and we are now going to the detail of life cycle cost for all the components of the infrastructure in the health. If you look at this slide, excuse me, you will see on the top these are the ways that we have organized ourselves institutionally in terms of our existing divisions and directorate in order to meet the demand of the deficiencies in the structural setup in the province. And then these RUSS, as you can see, are supporting us. That's why we call it project and program monitoring and oversight support unit, are designed, if you look at the bottom part of the slide, based on the delivery capacity assessment that we did for each and every province. Now, based on a certain formula that we went through, you can see some provinces need different package from the other provinces, as it is color-coded in this particular slide. Some do need full support, some, like for instance, as you can see from Western Cape, for instance, we need to have a monitoring only, but not necessarily to support them in terms of project implementation and management. If you go to this slide, which is showing us in more detail how the PMSU, as we call it, project management and monitoring support is working, as you are fully aware, there are deficiencies in terms of planning and design. That is why we have got component out of these 24 built environment professional people that are assisting each and every province in terms of planning and design. It's a major headache everywhere. Because if you don't do the planning and design on time, the contractor won't be on time in the field where the majority of the expenditure do incur. Close to 80% of the contract value is in the construction, and that's where the actual activity needs to take place. Procurement, as you know, we have got series of headaches in terms of procurement. There is a conventional type of tendering procurement that is taking place in the whole government setup in all the departments, which may not necessarily be the appropriate one for different type of contracts that we are using. For instance, for maintenance, just as an example, perhaps the most appropriate type is having a sort of term contract as and when required rather than the conventional contract, which is lengthy and it is subject to different type of abuses in during the process. So that procurement expertise...
Excuse me, Dr. Sir. Can I give you just 5 minutes to...
Go through. Okay.
To wind up, please. I appreciate the detail, but the problem is time is not on our side.
My apologies, sir. My apologies. Let me speed up. Anyhow, these are the support mechanisms that are in place, and we are hoping by this we will be improving the system. This is the list of our intervention by appointing managing engineers, IT technical assistance, and PMSU assistance in all the provinces in order to boost up the delivery. In brief, as CFO mentioned, this is our type of expenditure by the end of September as we are monitoring with our PMSU unit for the two, three different sources of funding for infrastructure, as explained by him. And these are the monitoring tool. Again, on a monthly basis, we are monitoring the cash flow. As you can see the cash flow in the next slide, it shows the graph and the number of projects at different stages of development. That's the cash flow up to the actual figure up to the September and projection, linear projection up to the end of the year for this particular three sources of funding. If you do a bit of analysis of the project at different stages, you can see majority of the expenditure is taking place at the various stages of construction, and unfortunately, on the design and tender and feasibility, you can see less expenditure has already been incurred. Focus is on construction. This shows per province, comparing our expenditure in the last second quarter, last year's second quarter and this year's second quarter, which shows a marked improvement in terms of each and every province, how majority of the province has increased. For instance, last year, in second quarter, we spent 2.9 billion, and this year is 3.5 billion. That's the level of improvement that has so far been achieved. The percentage, you can see again, percentage of achievement of the last year first quarter, second quarter, and this year second quarter, and in total, you can see the difference between 35% and 40% of comparing these two quarters. The same here in terms of the specific stage of the project. Again, you can see during the course of this year, marked improvement have been achieved, especially during the construction and design and feasibility study level, as well as the retention period. This is again is an analysis that shows the acceleration percentage of this program in comparison with the last year. For instance, you can see in free estate, because of the appointment of the managing engineer, the budget has been increased by 19%, but the expenditure, 237%, has been increased. And nationally, 18% improvement has been achieved in comparison with the two quarter of last year and this year. Shall we move on? And that's the projection of the expenditure. You can see on we may still have an under expenditure of 700 million as compared to the last year of last year of 600 and this year of 700. Let's move on. This is again an analysis that shows the green area where the achievement has been positive in terms of the status of the project within the development cycle of the project. HRP in specific has made an achievement of 41% expenditure so far by the end of March, by the end of September. This detail has already been demonstrated by CFO. Again, in important point to consider here and to note is the amount of expenditure in the construction portion that you can see, the blue one, is more balanced in comparison with projects that are in other stages of development. The under expenditure, fortunately, as the last slide, honorable members, you can see it is declining, while, as I said, since 2006-07, it was going up. During the course of last year and this year, our projection is it is declining, as you can notice. I thank you.
Chair, thanks. Maybe just 2 minutes on the NHI one. We've gone through a process with our national treasury, and we've had quite a number of 10 by 10 and 10 by 10 functional work groups. That's what we call it, to look at any bids. We were essentially told that this is a holding budget, and that we'll have to find funding from in the sector, which we'd be actively doing. But we've also been made to understand that there is what they call a policy reserve fund established by the National Treasury, so that when funding is required for NHI, that could be a fund that could be utilized. The criteria has been established for the NHI pilots. They haven't been selected as yet, and I'm sure that the DG or the Minister will make an announcement on that, but we've used quite a number of district health expenditure reviews to determine those criteria, and there was also a facilities audit done, which is 64% completed, which will also be a guide in terms of these NHI pilots. So in short, the criteria has been established, and I'm sure the announcement will be done by the Minister. Thank you, Jay.
Well, thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable Eric, you work with Harris, right? Behind you. With us. I didn't welcome you at the beginning. Okay, any comments? Straightforward. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I hear what the CFO said about the National Health Insurance. But, you know, we want to introduce that in 2012. None of these pilot plants have been accredited, so we don't know what any pilot plant's going to cost and whether there's any budget provision. Maybe But he says, you know, maybe we've got some other fund, the slush fund that's lying there that we can use. And,
he didn't say that.
It's a slush fund. And, you know, it's supposed to be used for other things, maybe. But in any case, can I just, yeah, you know, that's just a general comment because, you know what, we don't necessarily agree with you with NHI, but in any case, because if you do your job, what you should be doing at the moment, you shouldn't need NHI. But, Jay, in any case, I listened to the news this morning and there was some, I wasn't sure whether it's Limpopo or some province, where there was a withdrawal of the hospital revitalization grant. And I'm not sure where it was, you know, because I can't remember, and I would like to know if the department can tell me where it was and what the reasons for that withdrawal was and how much was actually spent to date and what they're going to do to actually rectify the situation.
Okay. Any other comments?
Thank you, Chair. So I just want to ask some clarity on the NHI, the pilot projects. I understand, as we were told by the department, they haven't been identified, the 10 pilot projects. But what exactly is going to happen as far as the pilot projects are concerned? I mean, because the NHI is just a funding mechanism. It has nothing to do with health. It's just funding. So are the pilot projects then going to be claiming funds from a central fund, from national, or has it got to do with health matters, for example, quality and standards of healthcare? If you can just get some clarity on that, what exactly these pilot projects are supposed to be doing. Thanks.
But you, I'm sure you're aware that you're asking two different questions about the infrastructure for NHI, but another one, policy. I think there are two different things, as I understand you. But, Honorable Mashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm concerned about this Civitas building. What is actually behind this? Why can't the rent be paid? And should you be coming here every year for us to be always approving a rollover for a building which you knew was there, for which everything was planned? And how can we be sure that this is the last time that you ask for a rollover for this Civitas building?
Oh, thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a few questions that comes out of the whole book. If you know the book, 139. The question I want to ask in terms of the vacant post, as well as the shift. Now, in previous presentation, in terms of the foundational work that needs to be done and preparing for national health insurance, it is an issue about the personnel getting ready for that implementation. But for it to happen, you need to have all personnel in place, including the professional, everything that goes with it. Now, if you read the book in terms of the adjustment, you see a lot of shift, vacant posts that are vacant that are not being filled, but then money shift elsewhere. Now, I just want to understand the what are the implications of that particular shift. Now, we don't have necessarily have at this committee a full organogram or structural plan of the department. So we don't know whether the post, as the money gets shifted on vacant post, which lower down, which basically bring down your personnel expenditure in terms of baseline down, whether it's recovery. In the following year, is that the recovery in terms of the post, in terms of the structure? or are we shifting it purely based? I just want to understand, is it in line with your organogram? Is the post been abolished completely? Is it going to be recovered later? Or is it just a saving, financial saving strategy for the department to get the money and deploy the money elsewhere? Because if you look at the overall figure of the shift, it's in millions. That's the first question I just wanted to ask, if you could explain it. It would be useful to understand the personnel structure or what is going to be the plan in the next financial year, given the implication of the shift, or whether the shift that includes abolition of post. The second question is in relation to the whole budgetary approach, including the prioritization and the reprioritization of the budget and the shift of what is a contributory factor to this? Is it a management issue, or in terms of the proper planning of that? I just want to understand what is behind it. What is it that, because it's not necessarily the first thing that you see. Now, it's quite useful to read this big document that was presented, but probably it would be useful to look at it more closely, because I think that when I look at the five issues that have been raised there, I worry every time I see the kind of document or the diagram, hundreds of this, I worry about the ability of actually doing, as versus to tie yourself into a whole lot of thousands of actions without actually seeing the output and touching the output. So that's the area that deals with Norman Standard. I'm worried about it, but I mean, we probably don't have the time to look at that. So, those are two questions mainly, but I think I'd like to hear you speak on them. And I would like to hear this organogram issue. What is actually the organogram that you're working on, based on moving forward, including the understanding that next year there's an issue about the starting process of implementation. We understand that the foundation must be effective or efficient working of the system now before you even start implementing the new system. But if you are now doing away with post, maybe explain it before I give you a term that is probably not your term.
Well, I thought you were looking at me.
I could not control as a result. I should be listening to those who are here in front of me. But I happen to share why my question is very simple. Why the vacancies were not filled? Is it because there was no budget for it? If there was a budget, what happened to that money? I'm asking this question because the president has made a call that the vacancies must be filled by June. And looking at the documents here, it's like there were monies that were shifted, monies that were supposed to be used for vacancies. So if I'm correct, I need an explanation. And it's also that Treasury has approved as well. So Treasury must also explain to us how did that happen? The money that is meant for vacancies, and instead of being used for vacancies, if I'm right, it's shifted to for something else. So what happened?
Just a small question on transfers. If I remember correctly, no money was transferred to Love Life last year, and I would just like to know what the situation is this year, currently. And then I see, that only 4% of 14 million has been transferred to the technicons and universities where we need to train people to actually perform and be ready for the new NHI scheme that you're so keen on. So, why aren't we transferring that money? Because it's a simple operation, I presume. Why is it being withheld?
I don't want us to discuss the politics of the NHI. But there's one government, first priorities for everyone to fall in place. I don't want us to go beyond that. I know. No, it's fine. Mr. Fanameve, am I right? You're presenting to this committee for the first time. There's something that worries those who have presented here before will tell you that there's something that worries this committee. When people just talk about shifting of funds like that, as if it's just a very simple thing. But well, even if we overspend there, we'll get the funds from there and put them there. The reason for that for us is very simple. Beginning of the year, you come to Parliament with strategic plans. This is how we're going to spend this year. And you request Parliament on that basis to approve those money based on the strat plans that have been presented to Parliament. Then we approve. Now, if you deviate from that, it can't be that now you'll do it alone. When you want to do it, you'll do that shifting just like that. To us, is a concern. Ms. Rainey will tell you. To us, is a concern. And we really don't take very kindly to it. Because our understanding is that when you do a strategic planning, you go through a process that you think that these are your needs, that you would want Parliament to approve, because we want you to succeed. That's why we approve. But you can't just then, when you like, you shift them those funds like that, so that now we no longer know whether there was any reason for budgeting for that. I think that is a problem. But also the goods and services. You are at 24%. Where is it? I think I saw the presentation of the economic classification. What is it that is entailed in these goods and services? What are the implications of this understanding? If we can be at 24% at this stage. And capital are at 19%. Why? Has it got to do with planning and not? But also, I think that the scenario that Dr. Shaka puts around infrastructure, I think that, coming from where we were to here, there's definitely improvement. However, what worries me, which comes across the department, is the consultants that we pay in order to ensure that we improve our delivery. But is there a plan for these consultants to transfer skills, or is that a perpetual thing? But because we do know that many people, resigned from the from service, so that somebody at least can get can be paid better as a consultant, and knowing that it's perpetual. But what is the plan in terms of a skills transfer? The colleagues have raised the other question. Okay. Over to yourself.
Okay, thanks. I think the first question on the withdrawal of the HIG, I'm not sure which province specifically, but we've highlighted that we've got two provinces that are underspending. I think it was Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape, if I'm not mistaken. So probably we'd have to look at those two provinces, and if there's reason for withdrawal, it will have to go through the proper treasury process of withholding and then reassigning within the grant framework. Okay. I'm not too sure. As far as I know, what the process might be for the Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape one. That's what I know. Dr. Shaw?
If you're not sure, not sure that will assist us. Hopefully.
Yeah.
No, you'll come back later.
The issue of the pilot surely is about quality, and I think that's why we said that the facility audit has been done or was in process, as well as the district health, the expenditure review, exactly to determine those quality deficiencies, but also to be able to identify which pilots, which districts should be properly piloted. I'm not sure, Jay, if we need to maybe give you a written response for NHI specifically. If that would be acceptable to yourselves. On the issue of the Civitas building, we agree that the rollover for the building, especially on the IT side, I think should not be a recurring thing in the future. We've moved into the building, and all those systems are in place, and we should be able to pay for those services this financial year. The issue of office accommodation is my understanding that...
Before you pass, we have now moved in. Are you moving in, or you have moved in, and what has happened to the other accommodation that you have been using? So that, because there is double payment here, both for the other property and both properties, but somewhere it must end. I think that's a question that was being raised. When is it going to end?
Yeah, I know I've moved in, so I think we all moved into the Civitas building. I don't think, as far as I know, there's any additional cost for other buildings, but maybe Tiny can just confirm that. But as far as I'm concerned, as far as we're concerned, we've got the Civitas building and laboratory labs, essentially.
Thank you, Chair. Members, good morning. Yes, I'd like to confirm we've moved from three buildings. We were in three buildings before we moved into Civitas. So all of us are now in Civitas. So all these rollovers we've been requesting were in preparation for the move to Civitas. So we won't be spending one more cent in those three buildings. We've handed them over back to Public Works. Thank you, Chair.
Just to touch on the 50 million shares, my understanding was that this fund was in the budget for last financial year. We were still in the process of signing the lease agreement with Public Works, and that's the reason for the 30 million that will be rolled over, which will now flow to Public Works as payment of the leases. On the issue of vacant positions, we can report that the DPSA minister has actually signed off the approval for that the new structure and organogram, and we've already started implementing it, and that bits have gone out in the last 2 weeks. I think the difficulty for us is that you find that some of those vacancies are annualized numbers. So it's a vacancy for 12 months. And surely if we advertise it, we won't fill it for a full 12 months. So that's a difficulty. But I think the issue is it still remains within our baseline numbers. And over the MTF, that number is still being taken care of, or the vacancies are still within that budget. So we shouldn't lose it on baseline numbers.
Okay, Honorable Yengene,
That response is not really clear, Chair, because they have budgeted for the vacancies. And to be told that some of the vacancies are just for 12 months, I don't understand the story. But those vacancies, are you saying that you are budgeting for the vacancies knowing that you are not going to employ people, but you're going to use that money for other things? I don't understand. Just tell us,
okay.
Because this question of vacancies is a very important question. And as I've said, the president has spoken to the nation through you, to you and to the nation, that the vacancies must be filled in. And he had specific targets for those vacancies to be filled. And instead of doing that, I don't understand what you are telling us. Please tell us.
I think there's... Yeah.
No, I did want to make a follow-up check. I asked the staff establishment structure, you're saying it's been signed off. Now you have it. And that question was really linking to whether the vacant post, whether the position that was there as a result of the signing off became superfluous. Basically, you're abolishing those posts. You're now having an ex post. That's the question I want to know. You haven't answered it. Now, if you say that the money that has been taken away from your baseline, which is current expenditure, you take it out, you pay something else, you redirect it to something else, are you saying that it does not necessarily affect your baseline? It does not shift your baseline, and therefore your baseline becomes the same as the previous year when you have already taken the money out of post. And how long has this post been vacant that you can decide that you cannot fill the post within 12 months, and therefore you have to redirect the money? It's a strange way of budgeting for other costs, actually. That's why I was asking. Is it the set built into that particular item, which called vacant post, which you know from the beginning of the year when the budget is that you're not going to fill those posts? So I think you should, and then you have the money so you can pay other expense in the department like you're doing. And you know that we will do this at the end of the year, at the rush time, during the adjustment appropriation, we'll just go there and shift the money and that's it. Now, because we need to know as you look at your budget in the next year, in terms of what you told us today, that if you build in the fat in the personnel expense, we must come down here and trim it when you come to the committee. Because we have known that your baseline is X. And that's really what I want to know from you. And let's speak straight about it. Let's hear the number, and let's know what is this number. And maybe it will be useful to also give us that organogram. And tell us, in that organogram, which of the post money has been taken away and which have been superfluous, which are going to be filled, so that we know what it is that we're doing with them.
The 50 million plus of the department, they've reported that it's the money that has been shifted. And out of that money that has been shifted, 22.4 million is the money that was earmarked for the vacancies. So when half of this shifts, it's the money that has been earmarked for, or they was budgeted for the vacancy. So really, when they must, they will explain, they must not just really give us something that we really don't understand what is it. 22 million is a lot of money. And you talk about reprioritization. What is reprioritization? When you do your planning, what does it say to your planning? Should you say that your planning is poor? Because once you start planning and then later on you start to prioritize, then what does that mean? Thank you.
Okay, over to yourself. You'll share the responses.
Chair, I think the issue is that surely the organigram was approved recently. And in that organigram, you're right, some positions do become supernumerary or super, it comes, not necessary anymore to have some of those positions. In terms of the context of the adjusted appropriation, we've actually added 3.3 million to the total budget of adjusted, in adjustments. And if you look at our expenditure, as it stands now at the end of September, we had 47% of the adjusted amount spent. And we still have to discount in this some payments in terms of performance, in terms of the new appointments. So the movement within compensation, if you look at it essentially comes on a shifting part to about 805,000 move. So I can share with you the move within compensation of employees to show to you that I'm not sure about the 22 million, but within the compensation move, there's been a move between programs and between certain economic classifications. But we're happy to share the organigram with yourselves. That is available. And it's essentially we actively filling those vacancies in preparation for the health insurance. And we've showed that we've advertised quite a number of positions the last few weeks. I'm not sure, Tiny, if you want to add something.
Thank you, members. Maybe I should also emphasize that there was no funds moved from compensation of employees to other economic classifications. We didn't do that. The shifts are within the compensation of employees between programs, because the public, the PFMA does not allow us to move funds outside compensation of employees to use the money for something else. So maybe just to add to what the CFO says, I must respond to. Since April, we have filled 165 posts. So the effect of that will only be reflected during the third quarter and the fourth quarter of the financial year. So I just wanted to add to the fact that we are busy filling vacant posts. Just to also give a background, last financial year, which is 10-11, we had a moratorium in place, and that was lifted in September last financial year. Hence, now the vigorous fast-tracking of ensuring that we deal with the vacancy rate. And maybe finally to add that at the beginning of the current financial year, we started with the new budget structure. While we were waiting for Public Service Commission to approve the organogram. So now that it's approved, we had an indication that it will be approved. That's why during the adjustment budget, we started aligning the existing budget structure with the organogram, hence the movement. Thank you.
May be quite useful to get that explanation. Maybe you could also explain within that particular program where the compensation shift has happened. Where did you move the money to? Which exactly sub-program within that where you move the money? And why did it necessitate that move of the money? Was it because of the overexpenditure in that particular item or not? And if it's so, why? And why is it not, if you're unable to spend the money, then you should surrender it to Treasury for the next financial year.
But does the
The other question, I'm not sure whether you want to respond now. Is that the whole idea of redesigning the department, coming with new organograms? Department has been there all of a sudden. You're restructuring. Why was it necessary to do so, or why did you have to do that? Are you re-establishing yourself? But I want us to move from this now so that you can finalize the next questions. Time is really no longer on our side.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think the other issue was around the transfers of money to Love Life. We have transferred funds out to them in terms of the service level agreement. We also asked them to submit a service level agreement for this financial year. So that some money has flowed from the last of the portion that was withheld from the last financial year. I think Tani can talk to the issue of the transfer of the bursaries.
I think she must, just for today, let's just ask to respond to some of the questions. She knows the history of the questions. I think the person, for instance, who raised the question around Life, it's a historical thing that you may not be aware of, that there has been what you call a problem of relationship. And we can't continue to say, no, we have not, it's withheld. Until when? The question is raised there now. That do we need to budget for this? So that if we don't need that money there, you can budget for something else where you're going to utilize it. But how is Love Life going to, if it depends on this to survive, unless it has other people who support it, but unless we know exactly what is the problem. In fact, we were meant to have invited Love Life to so that they can speak for themselves on this matter. Honorable Sachs?
Yes, thank you. You know, last year, nothing was transferred. Now, the CFO tells me something was transferred, but I would like to know what is something, what percentage, how much.